Maureen had taken note of the address on the back cover of Jancy's booklet. It was her intention to visit him whenever she was able to summon up courage. Jancy was in her thoughts and prayers day and night. She prayed for nothing else as earnestly as she prayed for Jancy's salvation. On a certain Saturday afternoon, she was preparing lunch with the help of Shinasa, her maid, and singing praise songs. The children were outside playing and watching out for their father, who had gone to pay a short visit to a neighbor. Suddenly, Maureen heard a clear instruction: confront him. It was unmistakably the voice of God, an inch away from being audible. She stopped singing as though to hear the voice more clearly. That statement sounded like part of a message she had listened to in the recent past. She, however, had not been thinking about that message. "Shinasa, did you say anything?" she asked softly, doing her best to confirm that she was hearing correctly. "No, ma. You were the one singing, ma." "I know. Look here. Watch this rice. When it is done, remove it from the cooker and start making the stew." "Yes, ma. But are you going out?" Shinasa asked, sounding as if she was objecting while busy blending pepper and tomatoes. "I am not going out. I'll be in my room." Maureen shut herself in and prayed. About an hour later, by the time George returned, Maureen had left the house. He came upstairs with the children, who clung to him excitedly, yelling, "Daddy, Daddy." "Where is your mother?" he asked, wrestling with his children, who almost had him on the ground. He tried to sit down.
"I don't know,"
Junior answered in his childlike manner, exhibiting his palms. Chukudi, his elder brother, said the same.
"Welcome, sir,"
greeted Chinasa.
"Hey, Chinasa, where is your madam?"
"She went to Igando."
"What? Is she?"
George was frantic. He knew where she must have gone. Jancy's temple. He sprang up from his chair.
"Chinasa, please let the boys eat. I'll be back. Chooks, Junior, let me go and bring back your mommy."
George hurried downstairs as the children watched in dismay. In a few minutes, he was behind his wheel. He turned on the engine. He turned it off, said a short prayer, turned it on again, and sped off. It had taken a very strong conviction from God for Maureen Wachuku to go to Mystic Temple of Lord Sesiri. It took an even stronger conviction to get her inside when she finally got to the place by public transport. She could sense the presence of evil forces. She prayerfully walked into the premises, greeting the guard, who murmured a response. On entering the main building, she looked around carefully. She saw about 15 everyday people waiting to be attended to. She greeted everyone at the same time and sat down. The living room was well furnished, like a regular middle-class worker's house. She did not see anyone who looked like an occultist in her own judgment. However, there were two doors opposite the main entrance, out of which came two ladies. One of them, the younger, was Ifeoma, Jansi's aide. The other was a client. Maureen observed both of them momentarily, one after the other. As she looked at Ifeoma, their eyes met and the witch hesitated.
"Welcome, madam,"
Ifeoma greeted, forcing a smile and avoiding Maureen's eyes. She tried to give Maureen a form, not sure what response she would get.
"Tell Jancy that his aunt Maureen is here to see him," she instructed, making no move to collect the form.
"Okay." Ifeoma went back into the consultation room and spoke with Jancy.
"My lord."
"Huh?"
"There is a woman here to see you. She said she's your aunt. Maureen."
"Maureen?"
"Yes, my lord.
I will come out to see her."
Ifeoma walked out. Jancy quoted some incantations.
"Fiery forces of Chitanam's palace rise in might. The universe transverse. Come to my aid against my foe. Today before me let them bow low. Deadly spirits of Sesiri's temple, ride with me in vehement battle. Wield now your bloodthirsty swords and bring glory to the Sovereign Lord."
He then stood up and went into the living room.
"Maureen!"
"Jancy, how dare you come here?"
Jancy spoke with audacity, but he did not raise his voice. Maureen stood up. She walked towards him and stopped about 3 feet away from him. The others, including Ifeoma and Deji, watched in amazement, wondering what was going on. Ifeoma and Deji, of course, recognized Maureen as a psychic criminal of great rank.
"I am here to tell you some truths," replied Maureen. First of all, she continued, your parents made a terrible mistake when they dedicated you to Satan.
My parents made no mistake. They were fulfilling the perfect will of the Most High for my life,
Jansi retorted.
Listen to me.
You are in bondage and you are heading towards destruction.
I am free, woman. You know nothing of freedom. I have unlimited power.
That is nonsense. Satan has deceived you. Maureen spoke with passion. She raised her voice, gesticulating as though she would pull Jansi out of the devil's hands by force. He was looking so mean. No hair on his head. A shaggy beard. A red garment with all sorts of odd decorations and ornaments. He looked devilish. She could not bear it. Maureen took one more step and touched his shoulder. Jansi jolted. Her boldness alone was intimidating.
Look, God loves you. He has a great plan for your life. You are deceived, confused, and you are heading towards destruction. Please come out of this evil. Please.
Jansi looked at her hand, still on his shoulders, then at her face.
Get out of here, he murmured. Get this woman out of here,
he further yelled. Two young male clients sprang up and grabbed Maureen as though they had been waiting for the other.
Jansi hurried back to his consultation room. He had been slightly weakened.
You no go go church if you won't preach,
snapped one of the young men at Maureen. Other clients railed at her as she was forcefully dragged out. Yet, she kept calling Jansi's name and begging him to repent. When she was finally pushed out of the premises, she pulled herself together and started walking towards the nearest bus stop. She heard a car horn behind at a distance. She looked back. It was her husband. He pulled up and she opened the front door and entered the car. She broke down and wept. Joe turned off the engine, reached out and put his right arm around her.
It's alright,
he said over and over again. Thank God you are safe. Two nights later, it was just a few minutes to 10 p.m. at the Kalu's residence. The chief had gone to bed earlier, so had the maids and Ngozi. Comfort was awake watching the news. She sat on the sofa, facing the television directly. Suddenly, there was a power failure. Comfort hissed hard. She then groped in the dark to the television and turned it off. In a few minutes, the night guards turned on the standby generator and the lights came back on.
Sweet mother,
mocked Jansi. He had appeared on the seat next to the sofa. Comfort covered her mouth with both hands in an effort not to scream out loud.
I came to tell you all to leave me alone, continued Jansi. This is what I was born to be. If you dare interfere anymore with my activities in any way, I will kill you. I will kill Chief Kalu, I will kill Maureen, and I will kill Mr. Nwachukwu and even all your children. For your own good, mind your business. All of you, goodbye.
Jansi vanished. Comfort screamed aloud and sprang up from her bed. It had been a dream.
What is it? Ben asked. I'm sorry. It was a dream.
What dream again?
Ben asked, pulling his wife gently back to the bed.
I'll tell you later. Let us sleep.
Comfort refused to narrate the dream to her husband until she had seen Maureen. During the next prayer meeting, they prayed all the more. Maureen understood the dream to mean that their prayers were affecting Jansi. She was right.